Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Netta. Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
We're gonna do the episode that we've been like putting off for a minute.
Yeah, we have.
So I feel kind of bleh.
We had to be back in the studio. Hi, everyone. We're here. We figured the only thing we could do is be back here and
exactly
chat about figure skating. What are we doing, Megan? What is happening?
So today we're going to talk about U.S. Nationals and all the sort of accompanying horrors, but also some of the good things. And we're going to also talk about Euros because that happened shortly after and was, impacted by the tragedy, but also like less impacted than, I don't know. It was just like everything that happened in January.
Yeah. I don't know.
We might not be funny today. We're going to try when it's appropriate, but like you.
I'll be funny in the second half. I'll be funny when it's Europe.
You're allowed to make fun of Europeans.
It's all I wake up and I do. If you're here, you don't know why we're struggling to start this episode. You know, I was talking to my mom shortly after the absolute fucking tragedy of that aviation accident happened. And I was like, 5 years ago when we started what should be a comedy podcast, we weren't prepared to have to talk about the depth and breadth of human depravity and terrible shit that keeps happening. And we've had to put out, I'm not gonna say statements because like no one gives a shit like what we think, but we've had to, in our pursuit to do sports comedy, have had to talk about a lot of crappy shit that happens to people and because of people. And I don't think we knew that when we watched our first like Skate America together.
Yeah, that's true. But I think also like if I may get deep for a moment, because like let's be honest, it's gonna be that kind of episode. I think when we started the show, it was very like, I felt like it was very like us on the outside looking in and like just like shooting the shit about something that we were super not a part of. And then the longer we were in it, we were like welcomed into this community. We got to know the people in it, the fans, the skaters, the people like Jordan who are like important people on the periphery or like in their own unique roles, and everybody has a place. And so I think the more in it we got, the more I felt compelled to come at it from a place of like empathy and compassion. And I think that's where all really good comedy comes from. I think you agree because we've worked together for almost 10 years. And so I think that at the end of the day, like if you want to make good comedy, these are the things that you have to get into, but you're right. You don't expect to.
Yeah. I mean, obviously no art or commentary or journalism or whatever exists in a vacuum, and everything we do is informed by what's actually happening out there. It's just easier when you're calling for giving an Olympic mascot a gun than it is when you have to figure out. I'm gonna be completely honest, guys, like it's mid-February, it's Valentine's Day Eve as we're recording, and we've pushed back this recording several times
because other reasons, but like I think we knew why too.
I mean it's always like oh no,
I have a headache.
Yeah. My internet is acting up, wink wink. It's just hard.
Yeah, we know. It is. And like we've already, I feel like we've already kind of talked about ourselves a little bit, because it's like I feel like I'm using that as a way to put off having to talk about what happened. We all know what happened. And it hurts a lot to think that in a better world, all the people that we lost, the skaters, are people we would have talked about in a few more years as like competitors, you know? And this is not how I wanted to talk about them on this show. This is not the context in which I wanted to bring up these people.
I agree. It's made me reflect on, obviously we're not about to change the format of the show. We do mostly cover senior skating, but I personally know that like on the internet and stuff, I follow a lot of novices and juniors, some of them, like my rank mates and stuff, but also I did follow a bunch of the kids who we lost, which felt very surreal. And I know it's not about us. I'm a 31-year-old across the entire world, but it made me reflect on why, like, how much bigger our community is. Because in a perfect world where none of this happens, we don't talk about the development camp. Like, that's not a thing. Like, we see the posts about it and we're like, oh, fun, the kids were there, and that's about it. And it kind of sucks that this is how we, like, bring this greater understanding and awareness of, like, the schedule of how things were and everything. Like, I don't know. I don't want to get too deep about it, because I'm not going to say anything smarter than, like, what's already been said by people who are more directly affected. Like, I'm not trying to claim that we're the ones who are suffering, you know?
No, but what I will say, and I... Tell me, jump in, Netta, if you know what this is from, because I totally can't remember. I feel like it's something my therapist said to me once, but it might be like one of those things that goes around on like Instagram slideshows or something. But could be both. When there's a tragedy that happens, and that could be a tragedy on a large scale like this, or it could be just like one person dying, right? Mm-hmm. That's tragedy too. There's sort of like concentric circles of grief, right? And at the very center would be like the closest people to the people who died. And then maybe like one circle out is like, you know, people who were like friends with them but didn't talk to them every day. And then another circle out would be people who didn't personally know them but knew people who knew them. Maybe another circle out is like fans of them if they were well known. And it goes out and out and out. And the way that you know, there's oftentimes this feeling of like, I'm too far out of the circle to, like, I don't want to make it about me. I don't know how to help, but I want to help. And I do feel affected in some way. And I think the fan community, like figure skating fans, are more affected by this than people who don't follow figure skating. It's just like a fact. And so regardless of, I didn't know these people, I didn't even, maybe you hadn't heard of them. Maybe you didn't follow novices and juniors, and maybe you're new to the sport and you just know the current world medalist. And
like, maybe you watch figure skating in the Olympics once every 4 years, and you're still like,
yeah,
it still contextualizes, like, things, you know?
It does. And so if you're, it's not the same as making it about you. Like, we've, like, I think we've all seen the College Humor sketch of like the girl who makes everything about her,
Katie Maravich, as a girl who like sees that like an earthquake happened in Italy and she's like, oh my god, I was just there 5 years ago. It's evergreen. It's we might link it in the descriptions, because we cope with comedy, and that I always, like, whenever something bad happens, I'm gonna be so honest with you, I always think about that sketch, because you do tend to, without wanting to be that person, you do tend to kind of connect to think of, oh my god, this, for example, I was in Italy last summer and it was gorgeous. I was in Faenza. It was awesome. And like 2 weeks after we left, they were hit by a gigantic flood, because that region tends to flood because there's a bunch of rivers there. And I was looking at like pictures of like streets that I had been on a couple weeks before. And it's not like I was like, oh my god, I could have been in the flood. But it like contextualizes it more when it's a place or a person or a sport that you have like a vague familiarity with, compared to like, if you just hear like about some country across the world getting like a really bad fire or something. And I'm not saying that like that invites more empathy or something. It's just like inherently, whether you like that or not, it is more personal when you can find some sort of personal connection. Of course, I want to claim that we all have like endless empathy for everyone, and I try to.
Right. But we're not, at a certain degree, like, we're really not equipped to, as human beings, like, understand, like, tragedy on such a large scope. And so the only way that we can relate to anything at all is through our own experience, because that's all we have, right? Yeah. No matter how empathetic or how, like, wise we are, enlightened, like, all we have is what we have lived, and, like, anything we learn is through the lens of what we have lived. And so that personal relating to it, as long as you're not like a dick about it, that's normal and natural. And like, you know, for example, like, I was like, oh, I, you know, that one of the skaters who was killed learned how to skate at the rink where I learned how to skate. Like, and I just like, I don't know. It just really, it, those things like that hits you. And it's not you being an asshole. That's just like the way that we are able to process small bits of this massive, unfathomable loss. And I think that at the end of the day, what people remember about people we've lost are these little small human moments. And so, I don't know. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that, but to my point of the concentric circles, the actionable part of that is that you comfort the people who are like one rung further in than you, and then it ripples towards the right people. So it's not my job to comfort, you know, the surviving family of Gina Han or Spencer Lane. It's, but I could comfort perhaps like the listeners of this show or, you know, another fan of figure skating, and, you know, just keep passing it forward. And hopefully the spirit of whatever, we're there for each other in the community, will spread.
I will say, I know we clout on figure skating Twitter a lot because we're
I did it maybe what, like half hour ago. We've done it earlier today.
Oh my God. I think of us as like a big high school classroom, and I respect everyone who's in there, and some of them are my friends and some of them are people that I'm like, oh my God, like, what are you on about? But it's always with like a wink and a love, because again, we share that secret language of understanding this one very niche thing in our own
asylum, like, that raised us as the,
oh God, no, absolutely not. But yes, that and I will say that in the immediate hours and days after, there was an immense sense of community. And I remember, because it was Euros, because of like the time zones and everything, it was going to be me covering Euros, and you were like semi sleeping. And I was just like, well, I don't know how I log in. And I crack jokes about how some man in a pink sparkly blouse is falling too much or whatever. And then I did, and people seemed to enjoy that. And we kind of had that like little moment of just like sitting in our circle doing the thing that is the reason we like virtually know each other. And I found that very sweet. And I think that's how we ease back into this being a comedy podcast, as well as remembering that through all of this, the only reason we're here to begin with is because there is one thing on this earth that both us here and whoever is listening, hi, happy that you're here, we share an interest. And that's like as simple as it is. That's the only reason why this is happening. And I think that's how we find our way back from like terrible, terrible tragedy that we can't even, I'm going to be completely honest with you, I do not think I've fully processed.
I have moments
of like clarity and processing. I don't think it's fully happened. Most of them have been happening while I'm skating, which is great. I've been skating more than usual because just my life schedule is such. And just like seeing all the kids and parents at my rink is like obviously, again, you don't want to like transpose grief or anything, but like there are so many kids and parents at my rink that like I don't know them by name or anything, but I see them every day. And I had a moment of like, oh my God, imagine like going back to one of the skaters' home rinks. Like, what would that be like? So a lot of my processing has been happening as I'm jumping my silly little single flips. And as I'm here and I'm talking to you and I'm very verbose, I realized that that's probably not healthy, and I should probably be doing more processing somewhere else. But
I don't know what the right answer is, but you're right. I think from by all accounts, the thing that everyone who was lost in this horrible tragedy shared is that they just loved skating. They loved the sport so much. It was their whole life and they loved it. And we love it too. And I think we honor them by continuing to love it the way that we love it, which is we make this show about it and we talk about it and we talk about these events that they would totally be watching and loving if they were here, you know?
Yeah. I mean, all the kids and parents and coaches and family were there, because we are about to give like a very quick recap of U.S. Nationals, the seniors events. A lot of rank mates here, a lot of like friends, all of that, and also a lot of skaters we're really excited about. And before we started recording, we were like, how do we do this? Like, how does this happen? And the thing is, because those fields are so beautifully deep and there are so many great skaters in on US figure skating, you made a very nice point that there's a lot of people we only get to see at nationals, because the fields are so deep that a lot of great skaters don't really get like international assignments and all of that on the senior level. So we're gonna chat about them mostly, because people who podiumed, spoiler alert, we're probably gonna see more of them shortly on international events. So we're gonna talk about everyone else for once and just chat about what we enjoyed on the senior level. Wow, exactly. Is that, I don't know if we, I really hope we didn't say anything that's like good to clip and show us off as terrible people who don't have empathy. I really tried. Nah. We've really tried.
It's, I think, hard. If you wanted to do that, the other episodes would be rich for you.
So. Yeah, well, we always try when it's serious. I will clown on adults making bad choices that they're fully responsible for any day of the week. But when it's serious shit, that's not, it's not where we make the comedy. You know?
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Where do you want to start? What do you want to start with, men or women?
I want to talk about men.
Me too.
And I want to talk about men because, first of all, I'm obsessed with, like, I'm looking back at their entries for this, and not a single person I don't enjoy watching in this, but I'm gonna just go right out the gate and say that my new like discovery, my new fave, is Beck Strammer.
Yes.
I have seen him before, but for some reason this year he seemed so locked in. He is one of the very few men who didn't experience extreme menning. He was 12th in the short, 12th in the free, 12th overall, consistent king, and I love him. I love his packaging. There's like an artistry there and like a sensibility to the music that I really, really appreciate. And on Instagram, like yesterday, he was talking about how he's working on combos with triple loops in them. And I'm so pumped to see that next year.
Yeah, honestly, like the entire time he was skating, I was just like, this is mother. I love him. And son. Mother and son at once. What a rare combo.
What a man. He is delightful to me. And again, like everyone, I had a rare experience where there isn't a single person on this list that I'm like, I don't know, like, it's not my style or like whatever. Because sometimes that happens. This field, loved everyone. Enjoyed everyone. Had fun with everything. But Beck, I think, is my like secret personal standout this year.
Yeah, I think for me, I loved Beck. The person that I was thinking of and coming back to is Emmanuel Savory, who came back after a long absence.
I'd missed him.
Me too, and we talked about him in our very first episode. And so that's always anyone who we talked about in the very first episode, and there's quite a few of them here, actually.
Yeah.
That is always special to me. And I always really missed Emmanuel Savory. He's such a beautiful skater.
He is.
And I thought his Prince program, iconic. And then I really loved the Sleeping at Last. Is it Saturn? Is that the one he did?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, because I was so, like, blown away by just how gorgeous the costume and the whole packaging was. Mm. I thought the costume looked so beautiful on him. And I was really, I just had a moment of, like, you know, Without being like weird about it, I thought that this costume of this shirt that looks like the planet Saturn, like, complemented his coloring and his skin tone in a way that wouldn't have complemented another skater.
Yeah.
And just like, what a subtle way that even the smallest things, like having more diversity on the ice, just makes it more beautiful and like elevates the art of it, you know?
Agreed. It's always a shocker, everyone we hear on this podcast are all for diversity, equity, and inclusion. I know it's shocking. You could have never known. I have a call to action for Emmanuel, and it is to, I don't know how it's done, but I need him or his team to get to his little ISU results page and update it. Because for some reason, it has like the little table for like nationals and all of that has been updated, but his music entries have not been changed since the season 2016-2017, and that's nearly a decade ago. And I need him to be on that so I can consult about music and stuff more easily. And it's been bugging me for a couple years. And Emmanuel, if you happen to be listening, first of all, hi, you're beautiful, come on the pod. Secondly, why? Please.
He's too busy slaying. He's too busy just like creating gorgeous skating and gorgeous lines. And
you know what? If I could skate like him, I would probably also not care about. No, that's a lie, because I love filling out a questionnaire.
You do. Yeah.
I love a questionnaire. I would love to like list my little hobbies and shit.
Who else?
Liam Capakis. I love him.
Yeah.
He is special to me. He grows on me more and more every year. I think he is such a beautiful skater. A lot of like really pretty skating in this field. Like a lot of very beautiful connection to the music, and just like, I don't know, there's something, now that I'm talking about it, I feel like a lot of what stood out to me was not like, oh my god, so many of them have quads now or whatever. A lot of it was so many of those boys and men, they're seniors, so many of those men have such gorgeous connection to the music and like artistry and musicality. And I don't want to like say that that's all thanks to one person, but I do think that Jason, who wasn't there because he, you know, had to withdraw, is kind of responsible for this kind of vibe change in contemporary men's American figure skating. I feel like a lot of them maybe watched him as they were coming into their style. And like other, you know, very beautiful musical skaters. But I feel like a lot of it is like Jason's influence in there, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I was really excited to see Jacob Sanchez after his win on the Junior Grand Prix final.
Oh my god, yeah. I feel like I love him. I feel like a teeny tiny bit the excitement of like him slaying the junior circuit so much and the expectation that brought on to him maybe affected him a tiny bit, because he went in like so guns blazing, and then you could see just kind of that lack of senior experience, because I'm sure he wouldn't mind me saying that because it's a fact, kind of like get to him a teeny tiny bit. I say that as if he didn't end up in what, like fifth overall, which
he's
is
seventh, yeah,
seventh, like, which is incredible.
Sixth in the free and sixth in the short, but seventh overall
because men. I'm very excited for him. I'm very excited to watch him grow. And I did go in like a little bit of a rabbit hole to see like his older junior programs, because I don't know. I'm not great at keeping up with juniors because it's thousands of people and I'm excited about all of them. I have to shout out a program he did literally 5 years ago. He had a beautiful Newsies medley. And if you know me, you know that that's, it's like the one way to get me to like be very emotional is like, beautiful, talented teenage man doing a lot of spins to Newsies. Sparks.
If there's one thing that Nutta's gonna do, it's seize the day.
Damn. Yeah. Is it my turn? It's my turn. Oh yeah. My god, Samuel Mendra. I always enjoy him.
Yes.
He so beautiful. So beautiful. He's one of those skaters at any time we kind of like start coming up to nationals, I'm like, oh my god, I get to see Samuel. Like, how exciting. And he did not disappoint. Also, I made a note. I'm looking at my notes. His, what is it called? His hobby section lists rollerblading as one of his hobbies. And I wondered if he does like artistic or if he's just like out and about in like a skate park, just having fun with it.
Okay, but my immediate thought, like immediate knee-jerk thought, was picturing him, but like as Ryan Gosling as Ken rollerblading.
Oh my god,
Barbie movie! And now I need him to have like a little sleeveless Ken moment.
Two things about that. One, I'm surprised that it's maybe like out of the zeitgeist now by like a year, but I'm surprised that we didn't get like an exhibition program with those exact, I guess like Piper and Paul are like the closest we're getting with all of their Barbie and Ken outfits, but we didn't get like anyone with like neon yellow boot covers, like emulating that scene. And my second thought is I had a friend who competed at British Adult Nationals last week. And because of that, I've been seeing a lot of pictures from British Adult Nationals. If we have any British Adult Nationals competitor listeners, hi. They have a category, which is like exhibition skating, where they get to like do props and like all of the fun shit. And someone did do a Barbie program complete with like a Barbie box. And I'm obsessed with it.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I saw pictures like yesterday or the day before. And I was like, oh my God, they have like the full, like the scene where Barbie goes to meet with the executives and they try to put her back in the box, like a full like doll box. Sick. Oh my sick. God. Awesome. That's so unreal. Exciting. Yeah.
Props.
Yeah. Shout out to the British Adult Nationals, which is not what we're here to talk about, but that was see, I'm just excited about doll skating.
Yeah. I want to shout out our good friend Tompkins, aka Tomoki Iwatashi.
What a man.
What a man. He had such a comeback in the free skate. He also was not, like, absolutely through no fault of his own, kind of responsible for one of the funniest moments of Nationals for me, which was when his music was erroneously announced as Rurouni Kenshin, which anime nerds will know is about, like, Meiji era Japanese, like, it's like a historical drama anime. And then he came out and did like the robot in a tuxedo, and I was like, at what point did this happen in Rurouni Kenshin? And it took me a damn minute to realize that there was an error, because I was like, well, I haven't seen the whole thing. You know, maybe there's a time skip. But no, his new free skate is to the tuxedo, which makes a lot more sense. And he absolutely slayed, and it was just like unbelievable to see him have that release of joy of like, yes, I did what I set out to do.
I really hope that he can carry that with him for the rest of the season and everything, because he has needed that like very strong skate for a minute. I will tell you, I watched the free skate with my mom, and like she was just kind of doing things, you know, she's not like glued to the TV, but I was like, for Tomoki, you have to like put everything down and just watch him for like 4 minutes. And by the end of it, she was like, doesn't this like upset the other guys? Like, doesn't it like intimidate them that he's such a showman? I'm like, I don't know. I think they're all friends. I don't think it's malicious, but she was like, I wouldn't want to skate after him. It was very sweet. It was like very cute of her.
Well, it was it Ben Augusto, your boyfriend Ben Augusto, doing the commentary, who said that choreographing for Tomoki is intimidating because as a choreographer, you want to think of what's their special skill that you can highlight. And Tomoki can do literally everything.
Yeah,
and
so it's like a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of pressure to figure out what to feature for Tomoki when everything is a highlight, which is a huge compliment. And it's true. He can do everything.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just a delight. I always love to see him. I think my final shout out, because the rest of it is podium and people who are awesome, but we're trying to do standouts. We're trying to do highlight reel. Jimmy Ma, the reason this podcast exists, he got a small medal. And then I think the pressure of that got to him a little bit in the free. But he had such a strong short program. And again, it was one of those releases of like, yes, I've wanted this for so long. Like I waited for this skate. And it's one of my highlights is that we got to see him like completely slay his short.
Absolutely. I just went to his Wikipedia page and found out that his birthday is my parents' wedding anniversary. Aww. Which is also the day of the premiere of Saturday Night Live, which is wild because my parents got married. I mean, it's not Jimmy Ma was not born in 1975. He may be a little bit old for the sport, but he's not that old. No, but a fun fact about me is that my parents got married.
He's not 50, damn.
No, he's not 50, but my parents got married the exact same night that SNL premiered, and they watched it at a bar after. But
that is so cute.
Isn't that cute? It's cool. And then so now like every time the anniversary stuff comes up, I'm like, oh, wow, that's also like a big. Yeah. Anyway. But Jimmy Ma is also born on October 11th. Libra King. And he has been so wonderful as like a pillar of the community for Skating Club of Boston as well. In the aftermath of the tragedy. I don't know.
All of the senior skaters who were suddenly thrust into this position of, like, having to very publicly grieve and process and also be spokespeople, like, extreme huge props to them for, I don't know how you get that mental fortitude and media training overnight to be able to do that. Like, I couldn't.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really clear that he, you know, even prior to everything that happened, was already a huge leader figure in the Skating Club of Boston as a coach and a skater and just like an elder statesman of the sport at, you know, however old he is, like 20 something. 29, yeah, which is clearly ancient for the sport.
Oh my God, he turns 30 this year. Wow.
Wow. That's exciting. But yeah, so I think that you can tell that that's just the vibe of somebody who really like embodies that leadership and that being strong for other people kind of
thing. So desperately wish we didn't have to find that part of his like personality and character out at all ever, but I appreciate him for what he's done and continues to be doing. And
yeah,
I really hope that he turns 30 and he does what happened to me, which is that at 29 I felt fucking ancient, and then I entered my 30s and I was like, I am a child again. This is nothing.
Yeah.
I hope he does that. And I hope he's the new Walter fucking Virtanen. I want to see him for another 10 years. Or if he decides to retire and like coach and choreograph, I'd be happy to see that. But my God, I want another decade of Jimmy Ma on my eyes.
Yeah. You know what I did when I was Jimmy Ma's age?
What?
I started this podcast.
Well, damn. See? You rediscover a childlike wonder.
I did.
Wow. Yeah.
There's no good transition to talking about Max Domov other than we love him and we feel for him and his skating was gorgeous and I loved it.
Yeah. He's always been one of my favorites and I hope he's shrouded in love and support and I can't fucking imagine. And he's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And
his short program this year is still one of my favorites, just period, oh my God, on the circuit at all. And I was so unbelievably excited to see it. I got home, like, literally from work. I got home just in time to see his skate. His was the first one I saw. And I was like, thank God I didn't miss it.
Yeah, it's so, so, so good. I really hope he's being taken care of and taking care of himself. And I hope he knows that we're not, like, expecting, you know, a triumphant return until he feels ready to be skating in front of people, if ever.
Like, yeah, because I think, I mean, going through, it's a personal loss and a professional loss to lose your coaching team and your parents, and not necessarily in that order, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I think that he was assigned to Four Continents and then withdrew, and obviously nobody blames him for that. That's, you know,
my
normal.
God, I would have been concerned if he wanted to go, which, people grieve differently, but I would have questioned.
Yeah. So I think that the spirit of it is, you know, we support him whatever he decides to do, and we totally empathize and understand however he wants to move forward in his career. But from the perspective of fans, he's a beautiful skater that we would love to see more from if and when he feels that that's something he feels ready to do.
Exactly. Do you want to talk about women?
Are we not talking about the podiums at all?
I mean, we can be. Let's.
We have to talk about Camden because Camden did so well.
I used to be like my beautiful prince, my son, blah 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 blah. This professional man with a grown up job,
businessman,
serious businessman
with a lot of responsibility for his age.
We love him. He is stunning. He's another one of those skaters who those two solid skates have been such a long time coming for him. And I'm thrilled that it happened at this point. The fact that Moulin Rouge is back.
It was so right.
That program is everything to me. And I'm famously a Moulin Rouge hater, but that program is... I'm thrilled.
It's so good. And it's, I think, to... Something I want to point out is that... In my line of work, there's this weird, you'll know this too as a performer and a musician and a million hyphenate person.
God.
that you know, throughout your career, as you're learning and you're bettering yourself at whatever it is that you do, you learn, you know, specific pieces, whether it's a skating program, whether it's a song, whether it's, you know, a skill, or you do a certain exercise or whatever, but you learn it at that point in your life with the skill set you have, and returning to it later is actually so difficult because you have so many more skills and so many more skill sets, but applying them to something where you have muscle memory from 5 years ago and 5 years fewer skills ago can actually be really, really difficult. And it's a weird, it's almost harder than doing something new. It's like going back and trying to revamp something that you associate, that your brain on some level associates with, like, however you were performing 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And so I really admire that. Like, I think for all that we're like in the repeating programs, like, I think to bring something back from that long ago and then bring something new to it is actually so uniquely challenging. And it obviously worked for him. And the free skate is just like everything. I'm a huge, I was, you know, in college from 2008 to 2012. So M83 is always going to be just like the ultimate like cheat code to making me cry and experience emotions.
Yeah. Yeah. I am just thrilled for him. He is one of the people for whom the math worked out, because he was fourth in the short and fourth in the free, but ended up with the bronze overall. So deserved. We get to see him again this season, and I'm thrilled. And I really, really hope, he's been so outspoken in interviews and everything about how finding this new balance, having graduated and working and figuring out how that happens with his skating. It seems like it's finally clicked and it's finally at the right balance of work and being an international superstar, and I really hope he lets that like buoy him forward, because he's danger when he's on. He really has something
that nobody else has, and I think that even just like finding that balance, I don't know, it's something I think about a lot in my life, and I think everybody thinks about what's the balance of like this versus that, free time versus working in a really like intense way versus like doing stuff with your hands, like, I don't know, just like all these things that everybody needs a different percentage of the pie chart in their life. I think to figure it out that young and on such a public stage is actually like really impressive as well, because I feel I'm almost 35 and I'm starting to maybe almost figure out what balance works for me, you know.
Yeah.
So he's 25?
Good news is I have 4 more years is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, he's not even 25 yet. Yeah. And he's already like so much closer to figuring it out than many of us were at 25. So
yeah, agreed.
Yeah, Andrew Torgashev came in second. It's amazing how being a guest on the Ice Tea podcast leads to being on the podium.
So if any of the aforementioned younger skaters who are coming up into seniors want to end up on that podium, keep up the good work, but also come on the show.
And I think it's on us to say, you know, we've chosen you. You are chosen, so mark your calendar. 3-4 years from now, you're going to be on the podium, but you have to come on the show first.
You have to come on the show and have me ask you silly questions about aliens, and then it happens. No, I love Torgashev's programs this year. I am such a Scheherazade defender. Mm-hmm. I see his vision. I know what he wants to do with it. He's been so outspoken about being like, there is nowhere to hide in this choreo.
It's getting better and better, too, like every single time.
It's crazy. I love it so much. And I think he's, like, really found something that, like a mission statement in that. And I'm so curious about, like, where that goes next year. And I've loved it. I think he has something so interesting to say with that piece. And his short, which we've seen, it's the same as last year. So
it's iconic and it's kind of turned into a war horse now. I feel like
I was about to say the Stroma and No, that he's like the second Woodkit at this point.
Yeah, like specifically this. I do feel that people are trying to. What is it the kids are saying? Something about nachos. Eat his nachos. Steal his nachos.
Reheat his nachos.
Reheat his nachos. But I don't think that it's working for anybody as well as it's working for him.
I agree. But yes, I thrilled. And then in gold, we have Ilya, who he was fine. He was good.
he could have skated all doubles and he would have still won.
Yeah.
And that's all I have to say about that, I think, at this point.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about him like 17 more times this season. It's fine.
He won and he's really impressive and he got really big scores. And we're not trying to be like asshole haters on this particular episode.
No.
So we're just going to say he's really good.
You know? Yeah. He looks like he's been having a lot of fun with Art on Ice, which is what he's currently touring. I did appreciate he posted like some social media shit, and he has this sweater that's like, not to be dramatic, but I'm spiraling. I'm like, oh my god, girl, same.
I liked it when he wore a skirt. I thought that was adventurous of him.
I have thoughts and opinions, but yes, it was, I can't say the word that I want to say because my mom listens to this show, but it was fun. Fashion is good.
Yeah.
Women. Let's talk about women.
Let's talk about women, baby.
Oh my god. There are so many women and they're so wonderful. There were some skaters in this field that I feel like I've never seen before. And that's always exciting. And then a lot of favorites returning and being there and slaying. So overall, great. Yeah. Where do you want to start?
Alex Evans, always love to see her. She's one of those, like, every time we see her at Nationals, so exciting. She's always bringing so much, like, drama and attitude. And it's just, like, always really, really fun to watch her skate. Even if maybe, like, her scores are not as high as some of the other people, like, I don't even care because I'm just, like, having a party while I'm watching her. And that's the most important thing to me.
I've never been a scores girly. And my enthusiasm for this field proves it. I'm so happy to see things way back on Nationals ice. That was so fun.
I can't even talk about it. Like, I can't believe that we got the return of Tang. We got the return of Emmanuel. We got, like, everything old is new again, and my dreams are coming true. I mean,
I know she's been, like, killing it and, like, collegiate and everything as well, but this is so exciting. It was so good to see her.
Again, I don't even care that it wasn't, like, her best skating that she could possibly do. Yeah. I was just thrilled that she was there. Like, who cares at that point? I'm just, like, riding the high of getting to see my girl Tang at Nationals again.
Agreed. She also added to the trend alert, which I kind of didn't shout out with the boys, but we got a bunch of Fleetwood Mac, which I'm never mad at, which I enjoy.
Never going to complain about, ever.
Oh, my god, no.
I want Alexa Gasparato. Hello.
Oh my god, I'm so thrilled she got to be there. I love her. And she could be very dangerous. She literally has a triple axel.
She's just, like, so fun and joyful.
She is.
And, like, it makes me so happy to see her. Just, like, a bright light in the skating world.
I agree. Very exciting. I was thrilled when I heard that she's going to Nationals. Obviously, we never enjoy when someone has to withdraw and then someone else gets to go and all of that. But thrilling, thrilling. Listen, I love Lindsay Thorngren. I know some people on the internet question whether she enjoys skating. And I think that's very shady. And I don't like that. Some of us just have expressive eyebrows. Let her live.
Some of us just have a sad face. It's fine. Lindsay is great. Lindsay was, like, criminally underscored the whole competition. I don't know what happened between Lindsay and the judges, but that was...
Yeah.
That felt rude. And, like, the audience was, like, booing at the scores, and it was, like, a whole thing. So,
a rowdy audience. I'm going to be so honest with you. Like, that fucking tweet that's, like, we should start booing or, like, chanting and figure skating the way they do in soccer... That cracks me up.
Oh my god, please. Yeah, I love that. And I think, I don't know. I think, like, I've been critical on this show of Lindsay's movement program because I love that song and I've choreographed it in my head, just, and that's, like, a stupid, unfair standard to hold anyone to. That being said, now that more and more people are doing movement, Lindsay's is still my favorite, even though I've been really critical of it. It's still the best. It's still my favorite. And I was
always a believer. I enjoy that program immensely. And I think about that dress.
It is stunning.
I was shopping earlier for, like, an event thing. I was looking for, like, a dress at the mall. And I literally was picturing that. And I was like, can I just have that? I just want that.
just it's gorgeous. So she's also been shouted out and honored by Diversify ICE as a person of, I want to say, Latina heritage, South American heritage. Mm-hmm. And people were being weird about that because she's very fair-skinned, which is something she's acknowledged of, like, yeah, maybe I don't look it, but I am. And I'm like, maybe don't be an asshole about other people's heritages and, like, acknowledge, I just like, be excited that people from different backgrounds are skating. Like, why is that something we have to be an asshole about?
I genuinely, honestly, fully, truly don't think we're the people to talk about colorism or racism or any of that. But
I just, I see things on Instagram and I'm like...
Her mom was like, literally, she is born in the Dominican Republic. Like, it's not like, oh, 17 generations back, she was like a quarter of, like, which is still shady. Don't fucking, like, blood quantum people. Like, don't do that. But, like, she is literally a... She is a person with Latino heritage. She gets to own that. And it's very shady to be like, this girl is too pale and she's doing a white girl sport, because that's not a thing we say in 2025, my fucking God.
So, yeah, in summation, at everyone on Earth, leave Lindsay Thorngren alone, please. Thank you.
Yeah, don't stop questioning her sad eyebrows and her heritage
and her rotation and stuff. Just let her spin. She's
just let her just let her live. Just let her live. I want to talk to you about this. Speaking of spinning, I want to talk to you about Sonja Helmer. I'm obsessed with her.
If you think a single fucking day has gone by that I have not thought about Sonja Helmer popping up onto her toe pick while she spins, you are dead fucking wrong. Because at least every 2 hours that comes into my head.
She is so special to me. I love that she is so in charge of her entire packaging. And I just love her vibes.
She's a multi-hyphenate queen.
She is. She does so many things. She
And like, she does so many things. Hey.
Hey. She's awesome. Like, an unnamed coach at my rank is really not a fan of, like, the two-sided sell cows. Like, someone I spoke to was like, oh, this is just, like, trying to reinvent the wheel or whatever.
You mean, and I'm
like,
the Helmer?
The Helmer is so special to me. And I don't know. Her free skate is so awesome. It's wild. I'm obsessed with her. She is so fun.
Yeah, I think that there's... What I will say about that is that part of the reason that the Helmer is extremely cool to me is that it's not even gonna get you, like, a ridiculous amount of points the way, like, a quad axel would, in terms of if we're talking about, like, new innovative jumps or combos.
Yeah.
It's more about saying, what can we do in this sport? And I think that's her vision is not, how can I win? It's, how can this sport grow? And, like, she's thinking long term. She's thinking big picture. She wants to choreograph. She wants to, you know, she wants to keep being a creative force in the sport and making these changes. And, I mean, like, look, people thought the Lutz was ridiculous when the Lutz was first invented. It's like, you're just trying. There's this, like, why would anyone do that? Like, that's just, I mean, and to a certain extent, it's like, yeah, why would anyone do a Lutz? But,
I curse Mr. Alois Lutz's entire existence every time I work in that godforsaken jump, because it's been happening, and anytime I hear my coach explain it to me, I'm like, this was a man who just wanted to come up with something no one's ever done before. Like, that's literally why it exists. But I respect it. When it's a woman, I respect it.
Yeah, and so I think what I'm saying is that scoring...
I'm joking. Oh my God,
yeah,
I'm joking.
But also, yeah. But scoring exists to describe figure skating. Figure skating doesn't exist to describe scoring. So
yeah,
we don't have to expand the sport around what's going to get a good score. We just have to, like, allow the scoring to catch up to what is the sport doing, you know? And so I think that I appreciate that Sonja sees it that way.
I wanted to also shout her out, regardless of how I personally feel about McDonald's as a corporation right now, girl, the boycott. Sonja found out that Jason wasn't going to be there, and Jason famously donates all of his plushies to the Ronald McDonald houses in whichever location an event is happening. And when Sonja found out that he wasn't going to be there, she organized the donation to the local Ronald McDonald House so that the kids there could get their plushies still. And then Amber joined in as well and all of that. But I thought it was very, very sweet. And it once again speaks to like her involvement in like the greater community and the things that accompany a competition as well. And I thought that was very sweet. That being said, don't go to McDonald's, girl, the boycott. But, you know.
Yeah.
Nuance.
I think nuance. Yeah. I want to talk about, speaking of nuance, I want to talk about Mia Kalin, who kind of made a splash in previous seasons for having a quad, but kind of caught some heat from the fans and even like the announcers, if I remember correctly, for having like kind of that was her main thing. And then she didn't have a ton of like finesse or skating skills or like everything else wasn't up to that level, which is like, whatever. She's really young. Obviously, if you put all your eggs in one basket of any skill, the others are not going to be there. Yeah. But what I think that she made a coaching change, and this season she's not even throwing down quads. She's just focusing on refining and growing as she gets older. And it was like, to me, I was like, this is like a completely different skater. And it reminded me a lot, actually, of Alyssa Liu's transformation of kind of pulling back from, okay, like I want to say like the last season before she retired, like her Olympic season, when she came back and we were like, who is that? Like, who is this? Yeah. This is a different skater. This is not a little girl who's doing crazy jumps. This is like a skater. Like, I saw a little bit of that in Mia Kalin, so that's really exciting to see.
Yeah, I really hope she continues in that trajectory, because I think that's where she's going to start seeing those results she's been hoping for as well more. Who else? I always love Elise Lang Gracie. Her name is a tongue twister for me. But I really enjoy her skating. I think it's so, so beautiful. And I think both of her programs this year really work for her, which doesn't always happen. So I really enjoyed seeing her skate. And she's another one of the skaters that I'm like, I really hope we continue to see like the upwards trajectory and the development, because she's fantastic.
Yeah, and likewise Josephine Lee, who I love seeing every year. It feels like she's been around forever, even though she's still a junior, right?
Yeah, she's baby.
She's baby, but she's fantastic. And she came in seventh place, which is like nothing to sneeze at. Star Andrews, as always, a star.
Yes. What do you even say?
I mean, huge comeback. 12th in the short, 5th in the free for 6th place overall.
I love when someone locks in. It sparks such joy. I want to shout out her free skate, which first of all is awesome and it works for her. Secondly, it's an Adam Rippon original and I find that very fun. I really think he has the potential to be making big strides as a fun choreographer, and I really hope we get to see more of his choreo in the coming seasons.
Absolutely. And I want to also say that I saw Star promoting on her Instagram, there's a movie on Disney Plus about the figure skaters of Harlem who we think are fantastic and wonderful, and you should absolutely support them. I don't know if Star is in the movie or if she works with them.
It's like a series. I think it's like a five-parter. Yeah, I think it's like 5 episodes or something. It came out like literally yesterday, so I obviously haven't had time to see it. I think it's a couple of episodes, and it's like a docu following the Harlemized girlies, and I haven't seen it yet. That could be a bonus thing that we chat about.
I would love
that. I'm very, very excited. I did see a bunch of like prominent A-list like Team US skaters promoted like yesterday and the day before on their socials, and I think that's very, very exciting and something that we should all tune in and watch. And there's many ways to do that if you don't want to be giving your cash money to Disney. That's wink, true. Wink. Figure it out. You watch figure skating, you know how to find things on the internet.
That's true. I want to say Sherry Zhang is adorable and I love her.
She is so cute. We're going to keep seeing more of her coming into her star power. She was 5th in the short and ended up 5th overall. Despite like faltering a teeny bit in the free skate. And I genuinely think we're about to like start getting used to saying her name on the spot. And that's exciting to me.
She was a little, I do think she was robbed in terms of international team selections. Like, I do think she earned a spot at Junior Worlds, but I don't know. I don't follow the juniors closely enough to know what that was all about. But for me, I was like, yeah, put her on the Worlds team. She's cute. I love it.
Yeah, she's cute, which is the only requirement we have. Okay, let's talk about this podium because it's special to me. Brady Tanau is back. She was second in the short and then fourth overall, but by the blessings of US Nats, that means a medal. Brings a tear to my eye every time. I just love her so much.
So good. So good. And like, it's funny that we had both her and Sarah doing the Lord of the Dance. It's like the battle of the Irish dance, which is the plot of Lord of the Dance, right? It's like a dance-off.
Yeah, yeah, I think dramaturgically it makes sense that there's two of them. And as a person who famously enjoys a Lower River dance, you couldn't catch me complaining about that. I think it's delightful. And I'm happy to see Brady regaining her confidence and coming back. It's so, so fun. It's thrilling. And it goes to show to never, like, count anyone out. Like, I feel like many people would have been like, well, she was very injured this one time, so we're never going to see her again. And that's not... She's persevered, and I'm thrilled.
Yeah, she's inspiring to me. I tore my meniscus by sleeping on it weird. And I'm currently, like, how can I possibly get back to my former glory days of just kind of, like, not really doing anything, but, like, not really having knee pain either? And when I think about all that Brady has accomplished, I think maybe I can one day get back to my knee doesn't hurt, even though I'm not really doing anything with the knee anyway.
I couldn't possibly tell you because my knee has been hurting for 8 years now. But some of us are better than other people. Speaking of which, Sarah Everhart won bronze at Nationals. How exciting is that?
It is. And I do kind of like her river dance better. I almost like, it's odd because I kind of prefer Brady's skating a little bit more. It just is a tiny bit more refined and mature, which makes sense given the experience levels. But I like Sarah's choreography. I like her costume. I like her music cut. And that's just subjective. But I just like, I think the ones I like the best are more in Sarah's music cut. I love, they both have that moment of that, like, the step sequence starts and we're going to do a little jig and we're going to do a little, like, moment. I love when Sarah does her little, like, heel drag, because that's my favorite thing that Irish step dancers do, is the little heel drag.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I was an Irish step dancer for, like, 1 second of my life. And
me
it
was, too.
Surprising. Nah, really? It's weirder that you were than it is that I was.
I mean, I was very obsessed with it, and there was, like, one dance school and Sophia that did Irish dance when I was in, like, middle school, and I spent, like, a couple years. I never quite got to the fun shoes, and then I made up for that by picking up tap later in life. But I did a lot of, like, the soft shoe little girly dances, and I enjoyed them very much.
Yeah, I never got to hard shoe either. You start in little ballet slippers. I was, like, 5 years old. We rehearsed in the basement of a pub. And I will never, as long as I live, forget what it smelled like. It was just, like, a very specific, like, really strong cleaning product. And it was, like, they would like, hose down the whole bar and then, like, use it as a rehearsal space for some reason.
Wow.
Irish people. And it was so strong that it's, like, I associate it so strongly with, like, being in that basement. It smells so strongly of, like, bleach. And then I remember we would perform at, like, various pubs in the state of Rhode Island, and I will never forget being at one where the stage wasn't quite wide enough for me and all my little fellow 5-year-old dancers, and so it was kind of semi-outdoor-ish, and so I had to dance on dirt instead of a stage, and so I will never forget looking down and seeing my little ballet shoes in the dirt and being like, wow, this is probably how my ancestors did it too.
So anyway, Sarah.
So Sarah did me proud as, like, the clearly, like, the preeminent expert on this. I didn't go very far in step dancing because I actually really hate jumping up and down. But you know who loves jumping up and down? Alyssa Liu.
Oh, my God. I cannot talk to you about Alyssa Liu without crying.
Just, like,
that, I mean, both of her skates, but especially that short program felt like something fucking clicked back into place. And I am emotional about it. I literally just got chills just thinking about it.
Yeah. And it's such a good, it's like to have her and Amber at the same time is such a wonderful contrast, because Amber is a skater who is currently in a highly competitive mode of, you know, undefeated, won the Grand Prix final. Everything is in service of, like, getting things clean, getting things technically great, you know. And that's not to say that mm-hmm. she's not an expressive skater. She obviously is. It's how she got here and why we stan. But, mm-hmm. You know, everything is very, like, high pressure, high stakes, like, results oriented. And so to have Alyssa also up there showing this other side of, we're kind of letting go of the results. Alyssa herself admitting she doesn't understand how scoring works.
Hilarious. None of us do.
Out there, none of us do. And out there just skating for the pure love of it. It's like, I don't know, having both of those perspectives is really special. And Amber herself acknowledged that Alyssa and Sarah and Brady had perhaps more like iconic skates than she did, and just the math, which I thought was really gracious of her.
Yeah, well, she's awesome. That's why, one of the many reasons why she's our champion here and all over the world this year. She caught fucking strays on the internet for claiming to be team mom because people don't know how words work. People are like, it's like she's so full of herself to like claim that position and like whatever, like who does she think she is? And what? I think that's a weird thing to say about someone being like, yeah, I like being a teammate in the sport where you have teammates.
Yeah, you know how the mom friend is notoriously a huge pompous bitch. Like, no, the mom friend is like nice and gives you like a tampon when you forgot. Like,
yeah,
you
know what I mean? I think people are mad at her for like self-proclaiming that. But that's the kind of shit you only say if it's been said to you.
Right. I was gonna say people. You don't make that up. You don't, it's like some, it was
you don't self-appoint mom friend.
Right. Like,
anyway, clearly, that's not important at all. That's not why we're here. She is undefeated, and we are gonna get many more opportunities to talk about her.
Yeah. So fantastic. Fantastic.
Remember when we were like, we're gonna do like a quick and respectful coverage of US Nats?
I think the most respectful thing to do was just to like give all the props where they were due, and it took a full episode's length, and that's fine.
Hell yeah. So if you're still here, thank you so very much. We appreciate you dearly for being here with us through the highs and lows. And if you want to support us and what we do and all of that, you can find us on the internet. We're at Iced Tea Pod, wherever, whatever social media still exists.
We're meant to be together.
Oh my god, Shakira, well, no, she's a Zionist, whatever. I don't love your work, god damn it. You can also find us on Patreon, where I express my political opinions more freely because it's behind a paywall. Patreon.com/IcedTeaPod. And by contributing there, you want to help us keep the lights on here at the Metaphorica Studio and to help us support people and causes that need our support. And we appreciate that very much. And this was meant to be one episode, but we're going to see you immediately after this on a separate episode so we can talk about Euros.
Yeah, but I mean, while I'm here, like, let's talk about Patreon.
Oh my god, tell me, yes, give me the full Patreon spiel. I'm sorry to steal your thunder here.
Not at all. I wanted to thank Neve, Jules, Madison, Cricket, Brooke, Michelle, Laura, T, Christine, Rhea, Elizabeth, Anna, Mandolin Arts, Robin is Trans and Tired, Tracy, Josiah, Sabrina, Alina, Catherine, Margaret, Robert, Vox Machina, Samantha, Joseph, KM, Jennifer, Jules, and Jordan. I want to thank you all so much. And typically we will do like a monthly bonus episode or stream or something. We didn't the last couple of months. It just felt like the vibes were completely wrong and bad for that. But we did make a donation from our Patreon money to the family fund for the US figure skaters. And we would really encourage you to do the same, whether it's directly or just like through us and, you know, whatever you want to do. Just, I think that's just help them out. That's more important than subscribing to us, but if you want to, indeed, we're also helping them out. So
Yes, thank you guys so very much. We always appreciate you being here. And if you're listening, regardless of whether or not you're a patron or all of that, we love and appreciate you very deeply. And we will see you so very soon. It's literally in your feed right now. Go click on it. We're going to talk about Euros in a separate episode.
We sure are. See you in a second.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.